Shall we read in the Old Testament, please, in the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and I will not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, or powerless, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Then the answer of the Lord comes in verse 5, Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the galleons, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling place that are not theirs. And then he described in the next verses the condition and the attitude, the way the galleons are. Then in verse 12, Habakkuk speaks again to God, and he says there, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when he, the wicked, devour the man that is more righteous than he? And then he talks about the Galileans, what kind of people they are. Verse 16 he said, Therefore they sacrifice unto the net, and burn incense unto the drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Chapter 2, please, in verse 1. I will stand up my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, I shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, and this verse here, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire, as hell and as dead, and cannot be satisfied, but gather unto them all nations, and heap upon them all people. Now that verse 4, we find back in the New Testament 3 times. And then he describes those that sin against God, and the 4 different woes in that chapter. Chapter 3, please. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Sigionoth, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. I was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then he describes who God is. He is at work, comfort himself who God really is. Verse 16 he said, When I heard my belly tremble, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in a day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And in a well-known portion that we have often heard, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the vine of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer of my strength, or the, my string instrument. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Now, very likely, like myself, I believe, I have to confess that most of the time, as I read my Bible, that the minor prophets were always, as it were, skipped over. I read them, but never stopped really to think of it and to meditate upon it. And thereby, of course, we have missed a lot of blessings. It is mainly in the last time, the last year, I would say, that I spent more in the reading of the minor prophets. Hosea has been a real blessing when I went through it. When I came to Habakkuk, I really had to confess, it never even dawned on me before what a kind of a personal experience that Habakkuk had with God. I read it without even thinking about it. It was one of the other minor prophets, and hardly being read or maybe just left as it was. When I looked up Habakkuk, the word, the name, what it really meant, I found out it was embracing, or the folding of his hands. With other words, he was a man, and he had a burden, as we have been reading. And in place of running here and there, or to anyone else, he folded his hand and embraced God. He cried to God out of his heart, and he said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord," that's real prayer, that's crying to God. And I thought for myself, brothers and sisters, how often have I cried to God from a real burden in my life? How often we pray to God and it's more like, "Lord, help us here, and Lord, help us there, I save my boys, I save the girls." But when has it become a real burden? That I saw no more way out as times in my life when I can look back on. And I have to count them, I can easy count them in my life. That I saw no way out, and I came to God and I cried, "Oh God, oh God, help us here. I cannot see my way clear, but oh God, thou knowest." And I believe this is how Habakkuk was crying to God. He would read that Habakkuk cried, "Oh Lord, how long?" Just think of it. Those are words not spoken in the past that we said, well, that is in the Old Testament. That's past tense. But we could say as well, it could be right in the days we're living in. In the circumstances we have heard, so much departure from the Word of God. So much violence around us in the world today. And I think that of men and women today, they have no regard for the Word of God, nor for His teachings. And a kind of a condition the same as in the day of the days of Habakkuk. And he cries, "Oh Lord, how long?" What, for himself? No, he doesn't cry for himself. Brothers and sisters, he was a man of God, and he was interested in the things of God, and in the glory of God. And he said, "Oh God, how long wilt thou not hear? Even as a cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." He was thinking about how is it possible that those things are happening all around me, and I see it, and I cry to God, and it seems like God is far away. It seems like God doesn't answer. It seems like God doesn't hear. And it seems like God doesn't even see. Is that right sometimes in our lives? As the people come up to us, we just have heard this afternoon. And they said, "Where is the God that you believe in? Isn't that the God who we must look around, look in the Middle East? So many hundreds of people are killed there in the camps. Look at Cambodia there, how many people are slain. Look at Vietnam, what has happened. And it's not so much more like it used to be that men attack God because of teaching of evolution, but they attack God and they said, see, there is no God. If there is a God, how can those things happen?" And even Habakkuk here, as it were, he said, "I can't understand it, O God. I have cried to thee, and there is no answer." I thought about Psalm 73 where we read about Asaph when he looked around him and he saw the prosperity of the wicked. I marked it down beside it here. And he said he couldn't understand. You know, here's Habakkuk, and he's lost, as it were. He cannot understand it. Brother and sister, isn't that often the experience in our lives? Certain things happen, and you might have heard it. And we hear the question, I never forget the time I was with my sister. And she had lost her husband in a moment's time. And we were driving to the place that where he was. And she kept repeating, why? Why? I couldn't answer her. And here Habakkuk, he couldn't understand it. It seems like God wasn't there. And yet when we come to this chapter here, we'll see God was still there. But you see, when Habakkuk got his answer, if he was, as it were, lost, when he cried to God, he didn't understand what God was doing. Yet when we come to the next portion, he is, as it were, more amazed when he hears the answer. God says to him, Habakkuk, sure I have seen it all. I'm not a God that is away. I have already my plan ready. I'm going to use that ungodly nation, the Chaldeans, and I am going to bring judgment on Israel. Is that strange to think of it? Habakkuk couldn't understand why God let all those things pass. But later on, as we read about it, then Habakkuk said, oh God, how is it possible that you would use a wicked nation like the Chaldeans to, as it were, bring judgment on a nation that's more righteous than they are? And I tell you, I marked in my Bible, God's thoughts are mysterious. And brother and sister, sometimes God's instruments are mysterious. God's ways are mysterious. We might not understand, but thank God we know. And this is what Habakkuk has to come to in his experience. After all what God has said, he said, I'm going to use that ungodly nation, the Chaldeans, to bring judgment on a nation like Israel. You might as well read it for yourself. And I've been meditating upon it. And I tell you, when I think about Habakkuk, he couldn't understand. Many times in our own lives, as we cry to God and we get no answer, or when we see certain things happen, you know, we think, why God? Why this way? I hadn't intended to be it that way. We cry to God for salvation of our children, and it seems like God doesn't answer. And as certain things happen, he said, God, it seems like everything goes the wrong way. But God is still in control, brother and sister. Even today. And you know what Habakkuk did? And that really encouraged me when I read about that. You know, when we come to verse 12, you know what Habakkuk does? He didn't understand God at the moments before. He could understand how God would use that ungodly nation. But you know what he did? And that really gave me joy. He takes, as it were, a step back. And he says to himself there in verse 1, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord? You know what he did? He went back to what he knew and what he could understand in place of trying to figure God out. He said, God, I can't understand why you're going to do it that way, but one thing I know, thou art a God from everlasting. That encouraged him. And then he said, and O Lord my God, thou art the Holy One. That's another thing. Not all art thou from everlasting, but O God, I know thou art holy. And then he said, thou art ordained for judgment. Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. And brothers and sisters, often in our life, thank God as we look back, we might not understand everything. But is it wonderful as we go back and say, well, God, I know one thing. I might not understand the things that happen in my life. Why this thing has to happen, I do not understand. But, oh God, I know thou art the Almighty God. Thou art the God from everlasting. You can make no mistake, God. Thou art the mighty God who has led Israel through the wilderness. Thou art the God, and he meditated upon those things. And you see, when you do, it seems like the problem starts to get smaller and smaller. The things of it, God knows. And then I like that when we come to chapter 2 there, he said, I will stand up my tower and I will watch to see what God is going to say. Brother and sister, often I have heard it said, I don't know why or what I should do.
I don't know why this is happening. And as the prophet has encouraged himself, he took another place, and I think it's very practical for us today. You know what he said? He said, well, I just stand back and wait upon God and see what God is going to do. This may be a help to someone here in the afternoon in the meeting. You might have been crying to God. And maybe it seems like the answer hasn't come. You might have encouraged yourself that there is a great God and he knows your thoughts and there's nothing hidden from him. And now Habakkuk says, you know, I'm going to stand back and wait. That's a good place to be in. Oh, we like to be active. We like to do certain things. But oh, the time of waiting, brothers and sisters, it is sometimes so hard and yet it is sometimes so necessary. And we have often heard it, and I thank my brethren for it, when they gave the advice, if you don't know what to do, just wait. God will make it clear. God will give the answer. You see, he has been crying to God, and he couldn't understand why a holy God could allow all those things, and God in his time gave answer. And then now he said, I'm going to wait. Well, brother and sister, listen to this afternoon. And those that are not saved this afternoon, God has said he's going to judge this world. God is going to judge sin. He judged sin in everyone's life, and if you're not in Christ, the judgment is still, as it were, over you. You see, it's not a question if God is going to judge sin, if God is going to do it, it's only a question of time when. That's the difference. If God is still allowing you to sit in gospel meetings if you're not saved this afternoon, that doesn't mean that God allows you to go on. God is just waiting his time when he might bring judgment. Brother and sister, if you are away from the Lord, it's the same way. We have heard it this morning. For those that were backsliding from God, they maybe can go a long way. God sees it. It's not that God is not going to judge sin. God will. But just a question when. The time that he has set. Look, he says, write it on the table. Make it clear and plain so that everyone can see it. He said, judgment is coming for Israel. And we know all, as we are here this afternoon, judgment did come. And Israel still is under judgment as far as this world is concerned today. But you see, the Galleons did come. And they did invade Israel. And yet, if you go back, I think it's Isaiah 44, 45. That we there already read that how God had called Darius, the prince of the Galleons, and already prepared him for judgment on Israel. See, God is not behind. God knows the future. See what is happening in your and my life. We might see it today, but God knew already. That what is before us that we don't know. Listen, brother and sister, God knows. And sometimes if we feel that God is not answering, listen, God is still there. And if we think that God might not have things ready, we don't have to make up and plan as we so often hear like some do. When things doesn't go and work out as we like it, and it seems like that we want to make our own plans and present them to God and say, oh God, in case you're stuck for your plan, here it is, and now bless us, Lord. Look, that doesn't work that way. Believe me, God knows everything. And I can't explain it, brother and sister. If certain things has happened in your life, God knows. Oh, that you might take just a stand like Habakkuk did and said, God, oh God, thou art a God for everlasting. There is nothing hidden from thee. Thou art in control and I can trust in thee and I will stand back and wait what God is going to do. It's not very easy, is it? And then we hear how God brings the answer as far as judgment is concerned. And then when we come to chapter 3, we read there the prayer of Habakkuk. And he said, Lord, I have heard thy speech. I was afraid, O Lord. And then he said those words, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Isn't that wonderful to think of it? Oh God, I have heard what you're going to do. And I can't complain, God, thou art righteous. But then that's just a simple prayer. But oh God, in wrath. Remember mercy. Thank God today. We have a righteous God. We have a merciful God. We have a God who is not only that he will bring judgment, but oh, thank God today that judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're sitting here this afternoon, that we know he had mercy when he sent his son. Habakkuk, as far as he could see, there was judgment coming for the nation of Israel. And he said, God, thou art righteous. But he said, oh God, remember mercy. And then when we come to the last part, when I heard my belly tremble, he says, when I heard about it, what was going to happen? He couldn't understand it, and he said, it made me, as it were, just the words that we could use today. My lips quivered. He said, rottenness came in my bones. He said, I can't understand it. It was terrible to think of it. But oh, thank God, that last part, as it were, as we read, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, he encouraged himself. Oh, even if all those things are going to happen, he said, what might befall? He said, thank God. He said, I will still rejoice in the God of my salvation. That is just a simple thought that were before me, and I thought I'd like to pass them on. Maybe it's an encouragement to some this afternoon, in time of difficulties, times sometimes when we do not understand what God is working in our lives. And just to bow before God, and just give God glory, said, God, thou knowest. And whatever it might be, help us, O God, to stay close to thyself, and that you might rejoice in the God of our salvation.